Good evening, everyone. Come on in. We are ready for ATOP, Anointed Temple of Praise Christian Church Disciples of Christ. We're ready for our Monday Manna Bible study. We're waiting for you to come on in and join us.
Another blessed day. I tell you, this weather is really tricky, but we're glad that God is including us in the plan that He has for us. Here it is, Lady Kim, believe it or not, the last day of February. And we're preparing to close out this month of Black History Month. But we know that Black History Month goes all year long. And so we praise God for all that He's doing, all that He's done, and all that He will do. For the word of the Lord reminds us that eyes haven't seen nor ears heard, neither have they entered into the heart of men the things that God has prepared for those who love Him. So even if you have not reached the place where you were anticipating, or you haven't received the breakthrough that you were looking for, or perhaps you haven't even had an answer to your prayer, I'm here to encourage you, and Lady Kim will agree with me, to let you know that the best is yet to come, and that God has not forsaken you, He hasn't forgotten about you. But you be faithful, you be consistent, and don't grow weary in well-doing. Isn't that right, Lady Kim? Amen. For in due season, somebody type due season, let us know you're here. In due season, you shall reap if you faint not. And so we want to encourage you tonight. We're in the ninth chapter of Joshua. That's right, ninth chapter of Joshua. There are about 27 verses in the ninth chapter of Joshua. And so we're going to move right on through there and just see what God is saying to us as a result of this word tonight. And we praise God for each of you who are part of this virtual study, and those who will yet join us even as we move through. I see you there, Brother Andre. That's right, in due season. Don't grow weary now. Just hold on and hold out a little while longer, because help is on the way. I feel my help coming, because if you don't give up, you know what would happen now. God will show up. And if He doesn't show up, He'll send two angels your way, one called goodness and another called mercy. Somebody say surely. Surely goodness and mercy will follow us all the days of our lives, and we shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. All right, we're excited tonight, as you would say when you were with the kids, excited. We're excited tonight about what God is going to say to us and what He's going to get done through us tonight. And so we're going to go ahead and get started. We're in the ninth chapter of Joshua. Hope you've already had opportunity to read it, but let's have prayer, and then we're going to just revisit some of the things that happened in our worship experience on yesterday. Then we're going to jump right into this word in the ninth chapter of Joshua. Father, we bless You and we honor You, and we thank You now for Your Spirit's abiding presence. We thank You for allowing us to be a part of what You have in store for us in this season. And God, we decree and declare that we're anticipating and expecting an abundant harvest, an abundant season that's going to happen, a season of an abundant harvest. And so God, now we pray that You might just use us tonight in this study. And we ask that each person who's on this virtual study, and those who will hear it later and participate in it later, that they might get an increase in their faith because they dare to hear the word of God. And so now, God, we pray that the words of our mouths and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in Your sight. You are our strength and our Redeemer. So we love You and we honor You and we thank You now, and we decree it. It is done and it is so. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And praise God. All right, Lady Kim, we got a couple of people on there. Now, listen, if you have any requests, prayer requests, we want to make sure that you put those in, because we want to entertain those. We want to touch and agree with you. We want to believe God for you. And we want to stand in agreement with what you're expecting God to do in your situation. All right, Lady Kim, you want to tell us a little bit about what happened yesterday in the worship experience?
Well, it was an exciting time in the Lord on yesterday. The culmination of African American History Month at our church. But as you stated at the opening of this Bible study, you know, Black History is not just a month for us. If you black and you making history.
That's right.
And it's all year, year long. Around.
That's right.
All year long. But it was a great service on yesterday, a wonderful message from Luke, the 12th chapter, verses 13 through 20. You talked about the right way to handle an abundant harvest.
Okay.
The right way to
the
handle
right way.
An abundant harvest. And when you looked at that passage of Luke, Luke, the 12th chapter, 13 through 20, it talked about how he spoke a parable about a certain rich man,
mm-hmm.
and how this rich man had his crop had yielded a lot that year,
mm-hmm.
and he had so much that the man said to himself, what can I do with all this abundance that I have? You know, mm-hmm. he said, I know what I'll do. I will tear down my own barns, old barns, and build bigger barns
okay.
to store all my goods. And then I will say, soul, take your rest, take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry. Have a good time because you got it going on. Your
yep.
pockets are fat. You know, now you can sit back. And so
that got a little rhyme to it. Your pockets are fat, so now you can sit back.
Absolutely.
Okay.
And that's what he thought he was going to do.
Mm-hmm.
But the Lord said to him, you fool. God said, you fool, this night your soul will be required of you.
Okay.
So that means he gonna check up out of here.
That's right.
You know?
That's right.
And then it says, whose things will those be?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know? And so you had a couple of points that you hit on yesterday. Don't make the assumption that everything you have is for consumption.
That's right.
And I like that.
Mm-hmm.
Don't make the assumption that everything you have is for consumption. That means don't think that everything you have is to be consumed.
That's right.
Or for your pleasure
mm-hmm.
or for your need. We have been blessed to do what? Be a blessing to others.
That's right.
And this rich young man, all he thought about was himself.
Mm-hmm.
He said, what am I going to do with all that I have, that all that I've acquired? You know, he didn't think about anybody but himself.
He said,
My and I.
That was his conversation.
Me, my four, and no more.
That's right.
Amen.
That's
so right. I don't know if he had four in his family, but all he thought about was himself, what he was going to do, how he was going to take his ease, how he was going to eat, drink, and be merry, how he was going to knock down and build the barns, how
mm-hmm.
he was going to, you know, pull in everything. So, yes, he had the I syndrome.
Okay.
And so I like that. Don't think that everything, don't make the assumption that everything you have is for consumption. And that's what we do as people.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know, we get everything and we consume everything.
Mm-hmm.
We go to work and we get our check and we pay our bills and we buy our clothes and we pay our, you know, car note. We want the best car that we can possibly have, the best house that we can possibly have. We want the best clothes we can possibly have. You know, we spend everything we have. Everything.
That's right. And it's almost like eating our seed, consuming our seed and not investing our seed. And this young man, he had a serious problem, but he also had an abundant harvest that God had blessed him with. And he took on the attitude that it was all for his personal consumption.
Right.
And I think that's the wrong way to handle an abundant harvest. But the right way, as you've already indicated, is for when God blesses us, we're blessed to be a blessing. We're blessed to share what we have and not try to consume everything that we have for our own personal gain.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other thing, the second point was happiness must never be tied to what's happening.
Okay.
Our happiness cannot be tied to what's happening. He was happy because he had plenty.
Mm-hmm.
He was happy because he knew he was able to tear down his old barns and build bigger barns. But what would have happened if he had not had an abundant harvest that
year?
How would he have felt then?
And you know, Lady Kim, we try to make it plain and make it live for how it is with many of us today. Because once we have reached a certain level of blessings, we extend ourselves to the point where it's all about us, you know, mm-hmm. in terms of what we want personally for ourselves. And so it was with this rich man who had received a tremendous harvest, an overflow, if you will. And he could have really been a tremendous witness in his community and could have really opened his doors to help and assist those who were in need. Mm-hmm. But he wanted to keep it all to himself. And little did he know that his soul was being required of the Lord that night. And so we can have all of the riches, all of the fame, all of the fortune, and we want to consume it for ourselves. And we, when our happenings are not consistent with our happiness, then we fall apart. And we, many times, as I tried to indicate, we get so attached to what we have till people identify you by what you have.
What you have.
And little do they know and that it's nobody but God who has given all of us everything that we have. And God can call us into account for what we've done with what we have at any moment, just like he did with this this rich man, and told him that his soul was required of him, not tomorrow morning, not the next day, but this night. He said, your soul shall be required of me. So we have to live in such a way that if God calls us on, because no man knoweth the hour or the time when he shall appear. If God calls us on, we have to live with a sense of confidence and boldness that we have done what God would have us to do, and we were willing to share what God has given us. Because when we share what God blesses us with, God turns right around and blesses us with even more. You know, you can't be God's giving no matter how hard you try. And so if we're consistent in our giving and in our living, and our behavior matches our belief, then God will be pleased with that. And then when we align ourselves with the will of God, we do the right things and not the wrong things in terms of what God would require of us.
Amen. Mm-hmm. Amen. And it's always best to do what's right.
That's right.
Like I tell our children all the time, if you do right by God, he'll certainly do right by
absolutely.
You.
Absolutely. All right. Well, Lady Kim, anything else you want to share? We had a powerful witness and a powerful service. We had our children to participate in the last Sunday of our children at the church, right?
the youth at the church.
And I was kind of getting tongue-tied because I was thinking about Sister Fanny Booker as we share with her last Sunday, as she's getting ready to go to Maryland and live with her niece, I believe she said. And then we had our food program, our feeding program on yesterday. And man, I tell you, we went out yesterday after everything, the dust had settled, and loaded all the food that we took to two shelters, to those shelters. The truck was packed down. There was not even room enough for anything else to go into the back of the Hummer other than the food that we were taking to the shelters. And people, Lady Kim, it was a beautiful day. People were sitting out. You could see people who were in desperate need. And when we started unloading that food, you could see people coming from everywhere. Mm-hmm. And so it just brings joy to our hearts, because it was over 300 people when you look at everything that we did. Two shelters, plus the people at church, everybody who was there who wanted a meal, it was a hot meal. And then we also delivered meals to the seniors and those who are sick and shut in. And so it's a worthy cause. It's called Meals from the Heart. And God has really blessed us to be a blessing through that particular ministry. And I just believe, Lady Kim, that it's going to take off, and it's going to even grow more so because more people are going to get involved in that.
Amen. I believe that too.
All right. Well, let's go ahead and jump into this ninth chapter of Joshua. This has been an exciting study. Last week, we closed out, of course, the eighth chapter. One of the things that it told us in that eighth chapter, it says, despite what happened in chapter 7, that the Lord grants grace. And when the people repented and he gave the people permission to take the spoils, the good stuff, and the livestock. And so it is with us. Sometimes, you know, chapter 7, where Ai defeated them, you remember?
Mm-hmm.
And they were distraught because they had little company, little military might in Ai, but they did not go about it the right way. And then one of the families, they took some of the things that God told them not to take. And as a result, they suffered. They took things in Jericho. And when they got to Ai for this battle, God had exposed the sin. And they lost to Ai when they could have beat them with one hand behind their back. But as a result of the people understanding their sin, repenting of their sin, and Joshua was so serious about how could he rectify this with God, that God gave him specific instructions and told him to go ahead and search out all of the 12 tribes and call the leaders of the 12 tribes and families, and we're going to find out what's going on. And sure enough, it was Achan and his family. They had stolen things that were not theirs and that belonged to God. But God gave them, he forgave them of their sins and gave them another opportunity. And then when they did go back and defeat Ai, he told them, now y'all take all of the spoils and y'all take it for your personal use.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think many times, even in our lives, we may have just come out of a situation where we know we should have won the battle and that we should have been obedient to what God requires of us, but sin was in the camp. And we sometimes become perplexed and we become bitter and we give up. Many times people give up at that point, Lady Kim. But the grace of God, just like it was sustained for Joshua and the children of Israel, after they had repented, after they had asked God to forgive them, then God opened up another window and he blessed them tremendously. And I believe the same thing can happen to us, because somebody might be in a chapter 7 of their lives, but don't grow weary, because if you do right by God, as Lady Kim just indicated,
he'll do right by you.
All right, so let's jump into chapter 9, and chapter 9 is a very intriguing chapter as well, isn't it?
It is. It's very interesting.
And so it's almost like Joshua and the children of Israel and the leaders kind of let their guard down a little bit.
They let their guard all the way down.
And so they were kind of caught off guard because they were not spiritually inclined to seek God in the decision that was before them. And we'll see later on that they took more... they were more confident in their sight than they were walking by sight and not by faith.
That's right.
And so is that Brother Johnny Tonstall out there in Los Angeles? I talked to him earlier. What did he say on his comment?
Get sin out of the camp.
Get sin out of the camp. That would be a good passage, scripture, on the title for that particular chapter. You got to get sin out of the camp, because you wonder why things are just
not going right,
and how come we're not prospering. And a lot of times there's some that unconfessed sin, and it's people who are outside of the will of God. And hear me tonight, and I said this a couple of times last week, I think many times if you are not doing what God requires of you, it's going to affect the whole body. And people will be trying to figure out and trying to understand what it is that's happening. It's because somebody has decided that they're going to take matters into their own hands and not be obedient and not follow the protocol that's in place.
Amen.
And so we have to get the sin out of the camp. Thank you for that, Dr. John Tonstall, all the way out in Los Angeles, California. All right, so Lady Kim, there are 27 verses in this 9th chapter of Joshua.
Okay.
And let's read maybe half of that. What do you want to do? Read about 15 verses? Or you want to back up and read about 10?
That's fine. Whatever you want me to read.
Okay. Whatever I want you to read.
A good break would be go to 11.
11? Okay. Well, all right.
I don't know if that's a good break or not.
Let's do it. Well, it's probably going to be hard to break it any way you read it. That's why I was saying maybe the first 15. Let's try that and see. And then we'll come back and just kind of share some thoughts about what's happening here.
Okay.
All right.
We're in the 9th chapter of Joshua, beginning with the first verse. And I'm reading from the Message Bible tonight. I like the Message Bible. I read it from several different versions today. Mm-hmm. But the Message Bible makes it so plain.
Okay.
It said, all the kings west of the Jordan in the hills and foothills and along the Mediterranean seacoast north toward Lebanon, the Hittites, Amorites, Canaanites, Perizzites, Hivites, Gergesites, Jebusites got the news. They came together in a coalition to fight against Joshua and Israel under a single command.
Mm-hmm.
The people of Gibeon heard what Joshua had done to Jericho and Ai and cooked up a rouse. They posed as travelers, their donkeys loaded with patched sacks and mended wineskins, threadbare sandals on their feet, tattered clothes on their bodies, nothing but dry crust and crumbs for food. They came to Joshua at Gilgal and spoke to the men of Israel. We've come from a far off country. Make a covenant with us. The men of Israel said to these Hivites, how do we know you aren't local people? How could we then make a covenant with you? They said to Joshua, we'll be your servants.
Mm-hmm.
Joshua said, who are you now? Where did you come from? They said, from a far off country, very far away. Your servants came because we'd heard such great things about God, your God, all those things he did in Egypt, and the two Amorite kings across the Jordan, King Sihon and Heshbon, and King Og of Bashan, who ruled in Ashtaroth. Our leaders and everybody else in our country told us, pack up some food for the road and go meet them. Tell them we're your servants. Make a covenant with them. This bread was warm from the oven when we packed it and left to come see you. Now look at it, crusts and crumbs, and our cracked and mended wineskins, good as new when we filled them, and our clothes and sandals in tatters from the long, hard traveling. The men of Israel looked them over and accepted the evidence, but they didn't ask God about it. So Joshua made peace with them and formalized it with a covenant to guarantee their lives. The leaders of the congregation swore to it.
Wow. That's the first 15 verses of Joshua, the 9th chapter. And we find that even after they had experienced a great blessing, God's people must especially be prepared to confront the enemy.
Mm.
Because, you know, many times we linger at the mountaintop experience, but we fail to realize that the enemy is not satisfied when we have victories. He wants to continue to keep us in a place of defeat so that we won't fulfill the destiny that God has for our lives.
Amen.
And I think part of what happened here is that they were still in celebration mode. They were still in mountaintop mode experience until when the enemy did come, and he came in a very deceitful way.
Mm-hmm.
It threw them off track, and they found themselves in a defeated place again.
Amen.
And John 10:10, that's one of the favorite passages of scripture, of course. The thief cometh not but to steal, kill, and destroy. Mm-hmm. But Jesus says, I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. So whenever we have reached a place of victory, don't just think that we can let our guards down, because the enemy is still coming, and he's coming with reckless abandonment, trying to take away everything that we have gained in our victories.
Amen. And it wasn't the big army that mm-hmm. was coming against them now.
That's right.
It was a group of men from Gibeon who were about to enter the camp to deceive Joshua and the Israelites.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, Satan sometimes comes at us that way.
That's right.
You know, he
right.
comes, 1 Peter 5:8 says that he comes as a lion, a mm-hmm. devouring lion, mm-hmm. Seeking who he may devour, and sometimes as a deceiving serpent, as
right.
it states in 2 Corinthians. So we must be alert and be protected by spiritual armor that God has provided for
That's
us
right.
in Ephesians 6:10-18. He tells us to put on the whole armor of
That's
God.
That's right. That's right.
You know, so that we can fight against the wiles of the devil.
Okay. And so, these people from Gibeon, they had a deceptive motive all along.
Mm-hmm.
And we see where all of the kings of the territory had conspired together to figure out how they were going to defeat Joshua and the Israelites. And so the people from Gibeon decided that they were going to take matters into their own hands, because they had already heard about the victories that happened at Ai and also at Jericho.
Mm-hmm.
And so people were, they were afraid. They were terrified because they knew that they were coming to take the whole land, and that the people that from Gibeon, they were next in line. They were the closest people to the next place where they were going to continue to conquer the promised land.
And doesn't this all sound familiar?
That's right.
Looking at the news this evening,
mm-hmm.
and Russia and Ukraine, Russia trying to come in and take territory from
That's
Ukraine.
That's right.
It sounds so familiar. It's a different story, but
mm-hmm.
same tactic.
That's right.
You know, Putin is trying to come in and reclaim territory that used to belong to Russia. But guess what? He got the surprise of his life, because Ukraine is fighting back.
That's
they
right.
are fighting back with a vengeance.
That's right.
And so we stand in solidarity,
mm-hmm.
solidarity with Ukraine as they fight off the enemy that they're confronted with. But here, it's not a big, you know, country coming in. It's a group of men
That's
coming
right.
in. You know,
a small band of men
disguising themselves
mm-hmm.
as friends.
That's
but
right.
they're really the enemy.
So they even went as far as to make it seem as if they had come from afar, when really they had only traveled about
25 miles
from
where they were.
That's yes. right.
So yeah. I said, and it says what the Gibeonites did. You know, I said Gibeon was located only 25 miles from the camp of Israel at Gilgal,
mm-hmm.
and was on Joshua's list to be destroyed.
That's right.
And you can find that in Deuteronomy, the 20th chapter, verses 10 through 20.
Mm-hmm.
God's law stated that Israel must destroy all the cities in Canaan. If after the conquest, Israel was involved in other wars, they could offer peace to cities that were outside that land. Somehow, the Gibeonites knew about this law and decided to use it for their own protection.
That's right. That's right.
Since the enemy knows how to use the word of God for their own purposes, God's people must keep alert.
Wow.
You know, the devil knows the Bible just as good as well as Christians do.
That's right.
And he can use the Bible against us.
That's right. And so we have to continue to make sure that we are fully armed and that we are prayed up, and that we are consulting with God on every hand. We don't make our move too soon, but we wait and trust God. And the Bible tells us that they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up on wings as eagles. They shall run and not get weary, and they shall walk and not faint.
Amen.
And many times, just as we've indicated from the beginning, when you come out of a victorious situation, we have a tendency to be at ease in Zion and be relaxed, but we have to continue to stay focused and be confident in the fact that the same thing that it took for us to overcome our last enemy, we have to even be more aggressive in terms of being clear and on our direction as we go forth, because each victory will help you some other to win, mm-hmm. and you have to make sure that you are focused, because the enemy is not going to give up. The devil is going to continue to come, and what really upsets him is when he sees that he's getting beat down. Mm-hmm. He gets a beat down. And so we have to stay on guard. And I think part of what we are discussing, we're in Joshua, the 9th chapter, for those of you who are just joining us. And we see that this small group of men, they had came equipped as an official delegation from Gibeon. And they are coming, and they have disguised themselves as if they had came from afar. And I think the last thing that you indicated, Lady Kim, is that they knew that Joshua and the children of Israel were coming their way next. And so it was a pact that they had been established by God, that once you have conquered the enemies that were in that range, then if people from afar would come, then you had received them in a covenant agreement. And that's what really kind of how the people from Gibeon began to set a trap by lying. They used lying and distortion, as well as creating something that was not so. And we know that God despised the lies, and that, in a matter of fact, we know that Satan is a liar and he's the father of lies.
Amen.
Isn't that right?
That's right.
And so they came in disguise, and they began to lie, and they told several lies in an attempt to get out of trouble.
Mm-hmm. They did.
Yeah. So the first thing they did, they said they were from a far country.
Yeah.
Isn't that right?
But you know what I thought about that? You know, they said Gibeon was just 25 miles away. You know, back in those times, they didn't have cars.
No, that was a good little walk.
I said that was a far off.
Yeah, that was a good walk.
It was a good walk, but it wasn't far enough where their sandals would be worn out, or their wineskins would be cracked, or their bread would be molded crusty.
And they did all of that with the purpose in mind to deceive.
To deceive them, yes.
Joshua and the children of Israel. So yes. they lied about they came from afar off. Then they lied about their clothes. Mm-hmm. They lied about the food.
And then they even said their bread was warm when they left. You know, it was just, and they packed it, and you know, when they left. So now it's all crusty and moldy.
Right.
So they lied about it, and they gave the impression that they were important envoys on official peace missions from the elders of their city. Just lies.
Mm-hmm. And the other part about it, Lady Kim, they also said they were servants. So they were making it the impression that they were coming to serve, and they began to use the name of the Lord as their way to get in.
That was another lie right there,
too. I know,
too.
Right?
They had four lies at first, and now they're adding another one, saying they had come because of the name of the Lord.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. So that was a blasphemy right there.
That's right. And so I think even as we try to make this relevant to where we are, and many times people will come as, what do they call it, sheep and wolves in sheep clothing.
Mm-hmm.
And they will come speaking and talking the right way,
mm-hmm.
but they have ulterior motives, and they'll try to lie and try to get a way in, when really the only thing they're trying to do is deceive, mm-hmm. and try to take what's yours, and trying to sever themselves and pretend that they're something that they're not.
Amen. I heard the old folks, I keep forgetting I am old folks. They used to say talking right and walking left.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yes, you
That's
can
good.
Hear somebody talk right, but you watch what they do.
Mm-hmm,
because like
mm-hmm.
you said, actions speak louder than words. You can't talk right and walk left. That means you can't talk good and then do just the opposite of what you say.
That's
you
right.
can't say, do what I say, not do as I do.
Okay. And so, you know, we talked about how the enemy and how Satan knows how to use religious lies.
Mm.
He knows the Bible. He knows how to twist the word. And he knows how to give the impression that people are, he uses people to make it appear that they are actually seeking God when they are not.
And you know, the strange thing about it is we see people like that come to the church all the time.
Mm-hmm,
they
mm-hmm.
try to make it seem like they're seeking God,
right.
or that, you know, the church is the most important thing, you know, in their lives.
Mm-hmm.
But they have an ulterior motive
right,
to get
right,
something.
Right. Right,
you know,
right.
I remember the time where the man came to the church and said his wife had just died, and he and his children came up to the front and said that
mm-hmm.
they were living
I
in a shelter
that.
And they didn't have money and was seeking money from the church. But he slipped up because he said his wife had died. She was a school teacher,
mm-hmm.
you know. And as a teacher, I know that if you die in service, then your insurance kicks in and you
mm-hmm.
get double what your salary is. So if your wife just died, you know, a few months ago, you got an insurance money. Why are you in a shelter?
Right.
You
right.
know, and so when we began to question him and ask him questions that he didn't have a good answer for, they were out the door.
They left.
They were out the door.
Because
they were
afraid that someone would actually report them. And it probably was a scam that they were using to go to various
from church to church.
Mm-hmm. And probably just waiting for us to take up a special offering or whatever. And they would take that and then they would go to the next church.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Minister Sherry said, appealing to the eye gate twisted with what could be pleasing to the ear gate.
Mm. Read that again. What did it say?
Appealing to the eye gate.
Okay.
Twisted with what could be pleasing to the ear gate.
Okay.
So what we see with our eyes, you
mm-hmm.
know, and then we hear something,
mm-hmm.
you know.
That sounds good.
Sounds good.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not really good. Not really good. And so Satan knows how to use people and how to use religious lies to give the impression that people are seeking to know God when they're really not.
Okay. Okay. And so this is the point where what is Dr. Tunstall said?
He said that family came to this church in L.A.
They left
Memphis and went to L.A.
With that same.
Well, they probably had gotten enough money from all the churches they had been to fly to L.A. and be.
Oh boy!
Yeah,
and, you know, it's like that. Some people use that as an opportunity to really. Play upon the hearts of people and the minds and sympathy. And you know, I'm not criticizing anybody who's out on the corner or any of that, but we've seen instances where they say they want something to eat, and then if you give them a snack,
they don't want it.
That somebody was that you? Well, he said, man, I don't want. No, that was somebody I had ran up against. He said, I don't want that. You know, and I was trying to help him with what I had. He didn't want that, you know. He was looking for the coin.
They want the money.
Right,
yes.
Right. But this is an interesting story, and we're in the 9th chapter of Joshua, and we're seeing how the people from Gibeon, they have come in with a delegation to deceive Joshua and the children of Israel. They were still camped at Gilgal, and they had just won the victory in Ai, and the word had spread throughout the region that God was moving in a mighty way. They had won the Battle of Jericho. They had a little stumbling block right there with Ai because somebody had taken something out of the camp when they had defeated Jericho, and they stole some things that didn't belong to them. And God gives them an opportunity. They repent of their sins. And once they did defeat Ai, then God allows them to take all of the spoils from the camp that they had received and gave it to themselves. And so it's a possibility, we don't know, but it's a possibility that they were relaxed, they were at ease in Zion, they were resting on their assets, and they had not really engaged themselves and were not anticipating this kind of tactic that was coming by the way of the enemy through the these travelers who had come from Gibeon,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
And so that pretty much takes us to the 15th verse. I think we've covered most of that, how they had set up several lies and they had tried to deceive Joshua. And I think in that 14th verse, it read that the people believed them, mm-hmm. and that they took them at their word. They did not do an investigative, exhaustive research, mm-hmm. or try to go any further. And so they were actually, they walked by sight and not by faith.
Right. They didn't even check it out.
They didn't check it out.
Check out the back. They didn't do a thorough background check.
That's right. That's right.
They just took their word for it and believed them.
And so as a result of that, they were really operating in their own senses, and they had not really relied upon God or trusted God with making this decision. They decided they were going to do something in the flesh that should have been a decision that was motivated by them consulting with God before they made a move in terms of trying to trust these men who had come from afar.
Amen. Mm-hmm. So that lets us know too that, you know, we can't be too trusting of people.
Mm-hmm.
Too many scams and schemes going on these days, but we need to really search God and see what God says about it.
Okay. The passage in Matthew 6:33 says, seek first what? The kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things shall be added unto us. And so it is even with the decisions that we make. We don't want to get ahead of God and then after we have made a decision outside of seeking him, come back and ask God to straighten out something that we've made a decision in the flesh where it should have been a decision that was made in the spirit.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. Any other comments there?
Mm-hmm.
Even as we are moving through, there are only 27 verses in this ninth chapter. We're at verse number 15 now. We do want to encourage you to go ahead and if there are prayer requests, we're about almost halfway ready to close out, Lady Kim, after we read these last few verses. We do want you to list those requests. We want to pray with you and pray for you. And just stand in agreement around what you are believing God to do in your situation. And we stand in agreement with you that this is going to be your year of an abundant harvest. And we shared with you on yesterday, the right way to handle your abundant harvest. And you know what? Guess what? This Sunday coming up, Lady Kim is going to stand tall. And she's been working on something that's believed going to be really powerful to help us get a sense of what God is going to do. And when God begins to direct in terms of what he wants us to be prepared for, if we don't do the necessary things in order for us to receive the blessing, when the blessing does come, we won't be able to receive it because we haven't prepared for it. And we also we jeopardize the blessing because we have not properly consulted with God on our decisions, nor have we trusted him. And we have, in a real sense, just like the children of Israel, we're walking by sight and not by faith.
Amen.
Okay. You getting some requests coming in?
Yes.
All right. Well, let's go ahead and read these latter few verses. It's almost about a quarter till, and then we'll rehearse some of those. We're in the ninth chapter of Joshua. Lady Kim is going to begin reading at verse number 16, and then we'll read all the way through 27, and we'll come back and see what we need to lift up out of those verses.
All right, Joshua, the ninth chapter, verse 16. And then 3 days after making this covenant, they learned that they were next door neighbors who had been living there all along. The people of Israel broke camp and set out. 3 days later, they reached their towns, Gibeon, Kephareth, Beeroth, and Kiriath-Jearim. But the people of Israel didn't attack them. The leaders of the congregation had given their word before the God of Israel. But the congregation was up in arms over their leaders. The leaders were united in their response to the congregation. We promised them in the presence of the God of Israel, we cannot lay a hand on them now,
mm-hmm.
but we can do this. We will let them live so we don't get blamed for breaking our promise. Then the leaders continued, we'll let them live, but they will be woodcutters and water carriers for the entire congregation. And that's what happened. The leader's promise was kept. But Joshua called the Gibeonites together and said, why did you lie to us, telling us we live far, far away when you're our next door neighbors? For that you are cursed. From now on, it's menial labor for you, woodcutters and water carriers for the house of my God. They answered Joshua, we got the message loud and clear that God, your God, commanded through your servant Moses to give you the whole country and destroy everyone living in it. We were terrified because of you. Mm-hmm. That's why we did this. That's it. We're at your mercy. Whatever you decide is right for us. Do it. And that's what they did. Joshua delivered them from the power of the people of Israel, so they didn't kill them, but he made them woodcutters and water carriers for the congregation and for the altar of God at the place God chooses. They still are.
Okay. And I like that, woodcutters.
Woodcutters and water carriers.
You've lied. You've done what was evil in the sight of God. And as a result of Joshua and the children of Israel, as they continue to move throughout the territory, finding out that they were their neighbors, they had already established a covenant with them because they said that they were their servants and that they were coming in the name of the Lord. And so when they found out the truth, they could not kill them because they had
made a promise with them.
Mm-hmm. And they made a covenant, and that was a part of the agreement that when you make a covenant, you have to keep the covenant. But in turn, Joshua told them, no, because you have lied, because you have tried to deceive us, and God has revealed it to us, and it's obvious because we're right there in your territory now, and this is where you came from. They did not kill them, and they knew that they were not going to kill them, I would imagine, but they made them woodcutters and water carriers. Is that what it was?
Woodcutters
and water carriers. What would you say would be a good parallel to that today, Lady Kim? Woodcutters and water carriers.
I don't know. It's menial labor, hard work.
Yeah. So
hard work.
All of the hard tasks that were necessary that need to be done, they were assigned to do that, and they should have done it. If they did, I'm sure they did it with gratitude and appreciation.
Yeah, because they didn't take their lives.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
But Lee Kim, here's one thing, and we're getting ready to close. I see you getting some more requests. I believe if Joshua and his leaders had paused to think and pray about what they saw when these servants came to them, that they would have taken everything into consideration, and they would have looked at the larger picture, and they would have saw that this was a trick of the enemy. Mm-hmm. And I think many times we get in such a hurry to move forward, particularly coming out of a victorious situation or winning a battle, we don't do everything that's necessary in order for us to get to where we're trying to go in the next level. And many times when we take things for granted or when we don't consult with God as we should, then we find ourselves at a place where the enemy can trick us because we are not, we don't have our guards down. We have let our guards down.
Mm-hmm.
You have any more comments that's coming forward?
Mm-mm.
Okay. All right. Anything else that you want to lift up out of those last few verses that we just lifted up?
No, and I think it's important that, too, that I was impressed with Joshua and the leaders,
mm-hmm.
that when they made a covenant, they kept that covenant.
They kept the covenant.
They could have been angry enough to say, you all lied, and so we're going to take your lives.
Right, right.
You know, but they said, no, we made a covenant.
Mm-hmm.
I guess they learned their lesson from God when, mm-hmm. you know, when they took the spoils that God told them not to take or to take for his house, and someone in the camp took it for their personal possession. But they didn't want to take that chance anymore. They wanted to follow the law.
Right.
And so
right.
once you make a covenant with someone, you have to keep that covenant.
That's right.
You
That's
know,
right.
A covenant is a promise.
A promise.
And you can't, you're not supposed to break your promise.
That's right.
And so that's why you have to be careful when you tell somebody, I promise I'll do this. Mm-hmm. Or I promise. A promise is a bond. It's a covenant
That's
that
right.
needs to be kept.
That's good.
And so you have to be careful when you make a covenant or a promise with people, because your word is your bond.
Okay, okay. And the lesson here, I think, at the latter part of this study has to do with knowing that the Lord does provide, the Lord will provide, and that we have to trust him. The Lord has said to those who opposed him, he would be destroyed. And the people heard about all the things that had happened, the plagues of Egypt and all the other things, the fall of Jericho. And they were terrified, Lady Kim. They were shaking in their boots. But the people from Gibeon, they had a plan, and they wanted to deceive the children of Israel as if they were something that they were not.
Mm-hmm.
And as a result, the covenant was validated. Joshua decided to abide by what he had said, and they could not trust them. But know that God will give us instructions, and he will give us direction. The Bible says the steps of a good man, woman are ordered by the Lord. And so we cannot allow our God to come down once we have overcome, because just as you had to endure in one battle, another battle is coming. Don't think that just because you have won one victory that there are not going to be other battles that you're going to have to deal with.
And, amen.
All right. So that brings us to the close of this ninth chapter of Joshua. And next week we will be in the 10th chapter. And Dr. Kwali say, do what you say you're going to do. And that's basically what she said, right?
Mm-hmm. Do what you say you're going to
mm-hmm.
do.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We're talking about making a covenant,
right,
making a promise.
Right, making a promise. And the Lord will find you out, you know. And you can't go around masquerading or pretending or perpetrating to be something that you're not, and trying to take an advantage of those who are following God's mandate and trying to walk in his way and his purposes, because sooner or later you will be found out. And so it's best to come correct, be 100, isn't that what they say? And do what you say you're going to do. And God is going to honor your covenant, and God is going to reward you because of your faithfulness. Isn't that right?
That's right.
Okay.
He will.
All right. Well, that's the ninth chapter of Joshua. We have several prayer requests that have come in, and we want to lift those up. And Lady Kim will be standing forth this Sunday as she prepares. This is going to be our month of Women's History Month as we prepare to go into the month of March. And so we're excited about that. We have had special speakers throughout the month of February. And so we will have some that will come and share with us around hope and healing, almost in the same vein as the theme for Black History Month.
Right.
And so we praise God for each of you tonight, and for those who are on the streaming side as well. We're certainly grateful for your continued support and participation in this virtual study. Hopefully we'll get to the place where we'll be able to see the comments from both sides and be able to see those who are watching on the streaming side as well as the Facebook Live side. Look like that. Is that Daryl there?
Brother Daryl, yes.
Okay. But Daryl Taylor, good to see you. Hope all is well and that you're making progress and that things are improving for you. We really miss you, and we're praying for you often, and we hope that things are going well. You ready, Lady Kim, to lift up those requests that you received and prepare to close us out tonight?
Yes. Brother Martez asked for prayers for his boss and his boss's mother. And then Brother Andre for his back surgery. And then he asked for prayers for his mother-in-law and his uncle, Angela's mother and uncle.
Okay.
Lift them up in prayer also. We want to continue to lift up Brother Daryl Taylor.
Absolutely.
As he recovers. And that's all we had on the line tonight. We all always want to lift up the region of the Christian Church Disciples of Christ here in Tennessee. Lift up our regional minister and president, Dr. Crystal Williams. Want to lift her up in prayer. And all the sick and shut in on our sick and shut in list.
Okay, okay. All right. Well, we're certainly grateful for, like we said, your participation and for you being a part of this time together. And Lady Kim, if you would close us out with a word of prayer, then we'll move forward.
Amen. Let us pray. Gracious God in heaven, we are so thankful for this opportunity to come to you tonight, God, and study and glean from your word. God, we thank you for your covenant with us. Your covenant is your promise to us, God.
Thank you, God. Thank you,
And
God.
We're glad that you are not like man, that you should lie, that you don't break your covenant promises with us, God. And so, God, as an example to us, we want to be an example to others.
Thank you, God.
Help us, oh God, to go forth and be a blessing to those who are less fortunate than ourselves. God, let us not judge people, but give us a discernment, oh God,
yes,
as we
God.
Go forth to do what is right and pleasing in your eyesight. We lift up all of those who have requested prayer on tonight. We thank you for Brother Daryl Taylor's
thank
continued
you,
healing
thank you,
tonight, God.
God.
We thank you for Brother Andre and that back surgery, God. We ask a healing for him tonight, God. We ask healing for Angela's mother and
yes,
uncle
God.
Tonight,
Do
God.
It, God. Do
we
it,
lift
God.
Up Brother Martez's boss
yes,
and
God.
His mother tonight.
Thank you,
whatever the
thank
issue
you, God.
Is, God, we lay it at your feet tonight,
thank you, God.
God. We pray for Director Hughes and Mother Elizabeth
yes,
Hughes.
God.
Strengthen
yes,
them tonight,
God.
God. We ask for strength for Brother Joe Lifford tonight,
thank
God.
You, God. Thank
we
you, God.
Lift him up to you. We lift up Dr. Crystal Williams and
yes,
the Christian
do,
Church
thank
in Tennessee.
You,
we need you,
victory.
God, like never
breakthrough,
before.
Breakthrough, God.
We thank you tonight, God. We thank you for all those who work with our youth ministry, God, and such a wonderful program on Sunday, God. We thank you for all the children and young
the
people
children.
Who were able
yes,
to come
God.
Forth,
yes,
God,
God,
and speak about Black history on last Sunday, God. We ask that you would continue to bless all those who work and undergird the ministries at ATOP. And we ask that you would continue to bless us and keep us all. Strengthen us, God, as a church family. Strengthen our pastor tonight, God,
thank
as
you,
we
God.
Continue to go forth.
Yes,
as
God.
He continues to go forth to do your will and your work. We love you, God. We bless you. We honor you. We give you praise, honor, and glory. This do your holy name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen, and praise God. And we thank God for each of you. And Lady Kim, we almost forgot to mention that the Lord added to the church on yesterday
oh, yes,
as well.
He did.
And I tell you,
yes,
it was
did.
Such a powerful day. And we are moving right through this year, and we're claiming the victory for those who are going to come. And I just believe that there are others who are yet coming that we haven't seen yet, but God has already directed them to ATOP.
Amen.
And so we decree it and we declare that this shall be a year of an abundant harvest.
Amen.
And we're standing on tiptoe expecting God to do exactly what he said he would do.
Yes, we are.
All right. Well, we praise God for each of you. We hope you enjoy the rest of your evening.
Yes.
Go in peace, and may the peace of God go with you.
Thank you for joining us. See you next Monday. Bye-bye.
Be blessed.